Today on Older and Wiser.
Do you love to travel? You'd be surprised how many Americans never leave home.
How old is too old to wear jeans? We'll tell you. Plus, we'll reveal which sports are the most boring.
Also, we'll find out how many of us can't eat a meal without our smartphones, and a survey of our favorite beverages.
Stick around, you're listening to Older and Wiser.
Hey folks, I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with Susan Sikora up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and once again, we're digging around through recent public opinion surveys. Why, you ask? I'm not even sure. Maybe it feels good.
Why, Bob?
It feels good to know we agree with the masses, I guess.
And you hear what other people think, and you kind of see where you fit in with the crowd. Not that that's necessarily the goal.
Do you agree most times with public opinion surveys, or do you find you disagree?
You know I'm going to tell you that it depends on the survey.
Yeah.
It depends on the survey. And it also, by the way, depends on who did the survey and who paid for it.
Well, that's
a lot
true
of times,
too.
So I'm always a little bit...
If it's a survey about how well do we sleep and it's done by a mattress company, it's a little suspect,
right? Okay. Yeah. Like, you know, and the answer is, you better get a new mattress. And by the way, having sale tomorrow.
All right, let's get started. Today, our headline is, a shocking number of Americans never leave home. This survey was done of 2,000 Americans across the country. Most people agree they do love to travel, but I think what surprised the survey folks here was that 11% said they've never left home. Does that surprise you that 11% of the American population has never traveled even outside their own state?
You know, it's hard for me to say because a lot of the people, I know people who are one extreme and the other. My father was a total homebody. If he never left home, his idea of fun was having the family over for a barbecue in the summer in the backyard.
Yeah.
My mother, on the other hand, after he died, as a matter of fact, she had some traveling money at the time, and she was going here, going there, getting on a plane.
My mom
going
did that too.
Whatever.
She took a trip to Europe after my father died. So,
but I do think there are people. That's true. I do think there are people who are not travelers. They have to sleep in their own beds.
Is it a fear? Do you think people are afraid of the scary outside world and afraid to that they might not be able to handle it?
Well, you know, I think it depends. You won't see me getting on a plane to go, you know, to like Disney World in the middle of the summer, because I know everybody with every kid or grandkid is going to be up.
Now, that's a significant consideration.
Yeah.
I don't want to go places where I'm going to be confronted by crowds of people.
My mother didn't even like to get on a plane in the summer. She would wait till the fall or go in the spring or even the winter because she figured more people were traveling in the summer and things were more crowded.
32% of people say they've never purchased any luggage. I guess if you're not going to travel, what do you need luggage for?
Well, store all the crap you don't have room for in your house.
It does seem like you would have, if you grew up in a small town and you felt comfortable there and everything was fine, at some point, though, you'd want to get on a bus and at least go across the state line. I mean,
if you're talking about even just going from state to state, I mean, sometimes that's a day trip, you know. I grew up in New Jersey, so to go to New York was, you know, on a bus and you're there in an hour and a half, depending.
Also interesting to note that 40% of those questions said they'd never left the country. So most people stay within the bounds of the United States in America. Now, I wonder how different that is in Europe, where countries are much closer. Wouldn't you imagine that people would cross borders more frequently than here in the U.S.?
If the train system in America were a lot better and faster and efficient and up to date compared to other countries, you'd probably see people visiting state to state more often.
Okay, our next question today, here we go. How old is too old to wear jeans? This was a survey done by, printed by the folks at the Daily Mail. I'm trying to see who did the actual survey. Collect Plus, apparently, is the company that did the survey. And they determined that the optimum age to stop wearing jeans is 53. Dun,
well, let me say this about that.
What do you think about that?
First of all, I have to say that jeans, I like the look of the denim on the lower half. for some situations.
And of course, jeans come in all different sizes, of course, but the material isn't stretchy. Or, you know, well, it can be. Actually, they're making jeans.
Oh, there's, honey. I suggest you watch one of the shopping channels when they're doing jeans for a day, and you'll see the kinds of material they're putting
in. And they're comfortable. Yeah, they're comfortable. Yeah,
well, they are. You know, if they're heavy duty, strong denim only, you know, 100% cotton, and they're kind of, you know, the kind that were originally invented, I think it was railroad workers or something in California by Levi's in San Francisco, as a matter of fact.
They're very durable.
They're durable.
Wear them to death. In fact,
I've got one pair.
You've
got
one
pair. And they're just, I hate to say it, they're pull on, but you know.
My dad never wore jeans that I can remember.
I don't think my father owned a pair of jeans.
Yeah. But I do love jeans. I wear jeans at 63, and that's really kind of all I wear because they're mostly black. I wear black jeans, and there's some of them are stretchy and some of them, you know, and I have a few pairs that I recycle. The other question about jeans is, how often do you wash them? Because one wearing, you don't wash them after one wearing. How many times could you get away with wearing a pair of jeans before you have to throw them in the laundry?
Well, if I'm painting something outside, I'm going to throw them in the wash right after. Or if I'm doing something dirty.
Just regular day-to-day.
Yeah, if I'm just wearing them around or going shopping or what have you, no. I mean, man, you don't have to be this nonsense. You have to wash yourself and your clothes every single time you use them. It's a good way to wear your stuff out. And I will say this too: there's certain places to wear jeans. I don't wear jeans to church.
Would you wear jeans to a funeral?
I wouldn't. I mean, I would get,
depends
I mean,
on how, again, how much I like the person who died.
That's
probably
like you dress up to go to church kind of thing. Unless, you know, you're scattering ashes. That's a different story on a hillside. Then it's more of a casual gathering, maybe. I mean, it depends. You got to use your head. People don't use their heads sometimes. I mean, it's nice to be casual, and I think it's great. But I think Casual Friday is now on steroids. And when you walk into a workplace and you see people wearing, you know, sweat hoodies and jeans, and looking, if you look sloppy, I don't think it works in the workplace.
All right, moving on to our next survey. This one's about smartphones. And, you know, we love our smartphones. According to a new survey, one-third of all people can't eat a meal without their smartphone by their side. Mm. Ooh, boy, I believe that's true. I don't doubt that a bit.
They're addictive.
Am probably one of those people. I like my phone nearby because I feel like I'm always using it, looking up things, checking stuff. I know it's bad. Even at a meal.
By the way, I don't care where the meal is, whether it's out in a restaurant or whether it's in your own home or at somebody else's house. I don't think smartphones belong at a dinner table.
Well, and I've got a friend whose wife refuses to allow anyone to come to the dinner table with their phone on them, even in a pocket. They got to leave their phone in the room.
A lot of folks are doing that. Now, there's a commercial on TV, and the mother says, you know, she kind of disables everybody's phones. She's got some mechanism on there. And, you know, and that's it. Now they're going to, how was your day? And that's where, you know, they go on from there. I'm sure everybody's like, oh.
I have a problem about figuring where to put my phone because I have a tendency to set it on the, right
I'll
on the table
with your phone
by my plate.
No.
And the problem here is, you know, when the waiter or waitress comes around to refill the water glasses and she starts pouring, you got to guard your phone to make sure that he or she does not splash water onto the smartphone.
This stuff is, and this is nothing new from me. You've heard it before. I just heard it last night on a show. It's addictive and it's designed to be addictive. So, you know, the people who put these things out want you to have those things with them all the time.
Yeah.
In an emergency, it's great.
Well,
if you're
traveling
at night, it's great. But if you're going to have a meal with somebody,
the addictive. I'll only argue on that one point about being addictive. The addictive quality of phones has to do more with a FaceTime where you're anxious to see what other people are doing right now. That isn't my goal with keeping my phone by my side.
Well, what about texts?
Well, yeah,
which
I guess
I find it interesting.
Probably
I find
checking
that an interesting
text.
Word for America to
yeah,
use.
You're right.
The plural of text text, and I did it there. The plural of text is hard for most people to say, and they won't take the time to pronounce it correctly. But I taught speech years ago, so all right, never mind.
Yeah, yeah. I get you. No, you're right. You're right on all counts. I should put my phone away.
Away for the time it's going to take you to have a meal. Now, if something's coming through, if you're expecting, let's say you're
a big job offer,
point A to point B, she's driving alone and you want to know that she got there safely.
That's right.
That's a different story.
That's probably
why. Then you want to know she's there. Okay, fine.
Yeah. It probably has to do with something like that. I don't even really realize why I have my phone on the table while I'm dining, but maybe that's it. Yeah, it is probably.
Need to be on the table. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And it's a problem for the wait persons who have to pour the water, like you say, and bring stuff and put things down on the table. They have to mind your phone.
All right, moving on. YouGov.omnibus asked folks, what is the most boring sport out there? And of course, it's interesting because people in Britain would have a different opinion about boring sports than those of us here in the U.S. But we do agree on a couple of things. According to this survey, 90% of people find golf to be boring.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about golf? Do you watch golf on TV?
No, I really don't. Well, I have to tell you, I don't watch any sports on TV. Now, when the Olympics are on, that's a whole different ballgame. Okay.
Yeah.
And I will watch that.
If it's
the last quarter of the Super Bowl, of course, that's exciting. Tennis can be exciting. I mean, where there's movement and there's some momentum, but with golf it just seems like everything's usually done in a very pretty setting, so I find it relaxing. If you're going to have a sport on in the background while you're doing something else, golf is your game.
The announcer voices on golf, that's what's so soothing, you know, they talk so quietly.
Well, it's gonna match the sport.
Yeah, you were gonna get this. Yeah, I love that. You could take a little nap with that on.
Yes,
in the background.
You could, which is not their goal, but it works for you.
You tend to agree with the Brits, actually, because the Brits say the things that they do find exciting to watch include tennis, their version of football, soccer,
mm-hmm.
Gymnastics, which I know you like to watch on the Olympics, and rugby.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, by comparison to American sports, these are pretty exciting. The Brits feel that 59% of the Brits feel that American football is boring.
Hmm.
I'm going to agree with those guys because I think it's kind of slow. As a spectator sport, American football doesn't move as quickly as perhaps it could.
Well, you know what it is? It's all the stopping down, and you think there's 2 minutes left in the game, and it turns out to be a half an hour by the time it's over. You know, so
exactly.
It's not – the time is a little – not deceptive. Most people who are fans will know that, but –
baseball also pretty slow, especially on television.
Yeah. You know, but it's summer. You don't want to move around too much. It's hot.
The Brits feel that darts is not too exciting to watch.
Yep.
First of all, I'm amazed by the fact. Is that even a sport? Darts
in a bar.
In a bar, but I mean, it doesn't seem. It does. What is the definition of sport? It does seem like it involves some athletic skill. And darts, I don't know.
Darts takes athletic skill.
Does it? Does it really?
Yeah, I think so.
It takes something.
It takes skill and a beer.
It takes some dexterity, perhaps some. I mean, archery is a sport, and I guess archery and darts are similar in the fact that you're trying to get a pointy object to stick into something far away. So maybe,
I guess that's kind of a loose comparison, but maybe we ought to move on.
Move on, absolutely.
By the way, swimming. I do like to watch swimming.
Swimming's actually fast, right? You're right. You're
yes,
right. Very exciting
is.
Because
I keep thinking, oh, and then I get back in the pool because I do swim, not at the
competitively.
Level.
You swim? No, you don't swim competitively.
No, God, no.
Wouldn't that be funny if you
no,
did? Not funny. I mean, how old is too old to swim competitively?
Depends.
Do you know anyone who...
swimming, I'm going to say... Oh, and bowling. I like bowling. Bowling used to be on every Saturday, and I assume it's on somewhere still. But I used to watch bowling quite a bit.
You know, that is a very interesting... that is a very interesting point. What is wrong with bowling? Why do people no longer embrace that?
I watch bowling. I do. It's not that slow at all.
It's not, and it's kind of fun to watch on TV. Our next big topic today, boy, this is
like a golf game, Bob.
This is a... I'm telling you, this next topic, this is a big controversial topic among many people, and that is, what's your favorite beverage? According to our next survey, bottled water beats out coffee as consumers' most preferred beverage. Wow.
Get it.
There you go.
Get it. There's water. When I'm swimming, I want water at the end of the lane. I don't want a cup of coffee. But in the morning, if you don't give me that coffee, you don't want to talk to me the rest of the day.
And the numbers here are pretty close. For example, 63% say bottled water is their most preferred beverage. Coffee, though, comes in a close second at 62%, followed by 58% of people who say soft drinks. So it's all pretty much in the same ballpark, but bottled water comes out number one.
Who did this survey?
This was done by the International Bottled Water Association.
Funny thing. That's what I'm talking about.
Funny thing. They won. I guess if they hadn't won. Now, it was done by Harris Poll, which is a legitimate polling organization. So I'm assuming that they wouldn't lie, right? They wouldn't lie. But
true.
Perhaps we would not have heard this story had the results been different.
I always say follow the money. Somebody had
follow
to pay Harris Poll.
Money.
I wonder who it was.
So 94% of people believe that bottled water is a healthier choice than
it
soft
is.
Drinks.
I'm
which
sure.
Who
yes.
could? No one could argue that.
Yeah, they had to study that? Really?
I know. And that 93% grudgingly agree, yeah, water's better for me than soft drinks. I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the deal with bottled water? Why do we feel like we can't drink water out of the tap anymore?
You know, I have broken the difference. And what I just take the tap water and I put it in a pitcher and I filter it.
Yeah, but... Because we feel like there's stuff in the water that's not good for us.
I guess the whole thing with Flint, Michigan has probably given everybody pause because I'm sure those people thought they were okay until problems started showing up and the water started looking bad. And by that time, they were too deep into the problem.
But you know what? In many cities, the tap water is actually cleaner than many bottled water sources, which is so weird, you know.
Probably true. I mean, if I have to, you know, if I have a headache and I want to take an aspirin or something, and you know, the easiest thing to do is to just get a glass of water from the tap, I do it.
I am actually amazed that this water that's coming to us is coming through miles of rusty pipe and all kinds of God knows what's inside the pipes if we were to really take a look. And we put it into a clear glass and we just put it right. We just drink it. We just take it right in. And we don't even.
You trust that your water is going to be safe
there
and
you
okay.
Go.
And that doesn't mean if it's okay and it's safe that that it's going to necessarily be tasty. They did a survey years ago and it was they tested bottled water and I think it was New York City drinking water.
Yes.
And the New York City drink in blind tests, and people prefer the tap water, the New York tap water.
Isn't that amazing? And that actually the water test that came back showed that the New York City tap water was actually quite clean and lacking in bacteria and all of that, which is pretty good. Considering the age of the New York City water system and all the pipes under the streets and all of that, it is remarkable.
We should have clean, drinkable, safe water. If it's tasty, that's a bonus. If it's not tasty, but it's still clean, drinkable, and safe, fine. I think that you're right as a taxpaying American.
Very good. All right. Well, I guess that just about does it for us today. We're glad you joined us. And you'll find all these stories and lots more stuff on our website.
And for all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus, visit olderandwiser.com.